Welcome to Ecclesia Principles, a biblical strategy for restoring America, with your host, Ray Eppert.
Have you with us today? And today we're going to be talking about a number of things that took place this past week and over the last 2 weeks, but kind of came to a head this week. And with this, where I want to start off is the Biden administration of about a month or two ago talked about creating a disinformation governance board to basically make sure that people were not putting out wrong information. This week, they have announced that that board has been put on pause. Not that they're not going to do it, but that it's paused. They're not moving forward. Because a number of states, just a little less than half of the states, the attorney generals from all of those from those states actually wrote letters to the administration pointing out issues and problems. And here's one problem that has kind of surfaced. It really hasn't been covered much. A lot of the mainstream media has ignored it. Fox News did actually put out something about it. They are part of the mainstream media. But Jeff Bezos, former chairman, CEO of Amazon, he actually made a statement in reference to a comment that President Biden had made. President Biden, in a speech, was talking about the current situation regarding inflation and was saying that basically leaving the impression that the connection to inflation was not only evidently tied to Putin, but it's also now tied to corporate tax rates. I guess the only thing that he doesn't think it's attached to is his policies, which in reality that is the main thing it is attached to. But Jeff Bezos, he actually made the comment that I think it was a tweet or the message, however President Biden did it, he said that that should be checked out by the disinformation board. Now, that brings up to us the basic problem with having a disinformation governance board. Now, at that point, let's just credit everybody with speaking honestly. We're not looking at motivations, this, that, or the other at this point. I don't know people's motivations. But let's just say that President Biden believes that corporate tax rates are a significant contributor to inflation. Obviously, Jeff Bezos does not believe that they're a contributor. With that, they have their opinions. Now, at that point, here's the problem with a disinformation governance board. Whose opinion is right? Well, when that board is ran by the government, I can tell you whose opinion is going to be right. It's going to be whoever is sitting in the White House, whoever is controlling that board. It is those views. See, this, again, throws us back to the whole idea of the novel 1984, where the government actually was always in the process of reviewing all information that came out, all news that came out, and then would rewrite it to make it correct, which in reality, what they did is they took a lot of things that were true and wrote it so it fit the narrative that they want. If you've never read the book or seen the movie, I strongly encourage you to do so, because a lot of what we're experiencing in our country right now and have for the last several years, that movie and that book is way too close to what we're dealing with. You know, there's one particular part of it where a member of the government is there and he's holding up four fingers and he's talking to the person that he is basically torturing. They're wanting a willing compliance. And he asks, how many fingers do I have up? The guy says four. And so he gives him electroshock again. And he says, no, this is five. So he lifts four fingers and says, this is five. He says, why is it five? And the guy goes, I don't know. I thought it was four. Yeah. But anyway, eventually the guy says, okay, it's five. And he says, we don't want you to say it's five just to stop the shocks. We want you to understand it's five because the government says it's five. Again, there's so much about that right now it's just too close to the reality that we're living in. But we have differences of opinions. That's just the nature of things. Somebody sees something one way, somebody else sees it another way, and the facts, they're both looking at certain facts, and they still see it differently. That's one of the biggest reasons there should not ever be a disinformation governance board that is controlled by the government. You know, it amazes me sometimes you get on social media and there's things that sometimes I'll see it and it says, you know, some of this content is misleading. And I go and I'll go ahead and click the article and I'll read it. And it could be a speech that I watched on the news or actually watched it live. And I'm going, no, they're pretty much saying what really actually happened. But the, quote, fact checkers and the ones that are making sure, it could leave a wrong impression. Well, all of that comes down to how you want to look when it's all over. The government, and especially, you know, this is ecclesial principles, God's principles for government. One of the key principles is there has to be limits. And when you begin to empower some group to determine what the truth is and not let the people decide, then you are taking away the limits that should be on government and putting limits that should not be on the people. Stay with us through this break and we'll be right back.
Jesus said, I will build my church, or ecclesia. Ecclesia identified those who were called out to vote on issues that determine their culture. Jesus expects us to positively influence our culture with equality, liberty, and justice for all.
All right, I want to pick up again with the Disinformation Governance Board, because we've got to understand why that I'll just call it what it is, the censoring on social media, why all of that is really inappropriate. Now, there's a difference between slander. There are laws on the books that apply to inappropriate speech. They are there. But for someone to have an opinion about something, that's the basic component of liberty. See, freedom of speech and freedom of opinion is the bellwether of liberty. Now, in doing a little bit of research on that word bellwether, because, you know, I thought, well, you know, where'd that come from? And come to find out, the term bellwether originated from shepherds putting a bell on the lead sheep. In other words, the sheep that would follow closest along to the shepherd, they put a bell on that one so all the other sheep would know where to go to. And so that one was the bellwether. They were wearing the bell, and that helped bring things into play. And with that, over the years, a bellwether has come to be the thing that points the direction of how things are going, so forth and so on. Freedom of speech and freedom of opinion is the bellwether of liberty. Whenever you see an attempt to limit free speech beyond something that is slander, beyond something like crying out fire in a movie theater, where it can create harm for people, wherever you see that, that is a bellwether of restricting liberty. Now, you see, with this, and a little bit later, we're going to talk about some things regarding the World Health Organization and some amendments that the Biden administration has proposed. And with that, there's a part of it where I see the need, but I totally disagree with the approach. And when it comes to freedom of speech and freedom of opinion, there are things that may need to be addressed. But the easiest way to address it is just to get rid of free speech, just to get rid of freedom of opinion, and that is a dangerous way to do it. Because every time that you take away liberty, that authority moves from the people to ultimately the government. Because the government will be the one that decides what speech is allowed, what speech isn't allowed, what opinions are allowed, what opinions are not allowed. And at that point, that becomes an ever-increasing scope of power of the federal government or state, any level of government. We have to be careful of that because ultimately, again, going back to the etymology of words, if you go and you research tyranny, see, today we think of tyranny as someone who is oppressive, who seizes power and does harm to people. And obviously, that is tyranny. But the original meaning of tyranny, identified back in the day of the Greeks, Tyrannus was a ruler there, and it really comes from his name. Tyranny was the usurping of someone else's authority, whether it was for their good or harm. See, ultimately, in the etymology of tyranny, even usurping someone's authority for their benefit was considered tyranny. In other words, you were taking authority that did not belong to you, and you were using it. You took it away from someone else. Now, obviously, we have situations where, you know, people can reach a place where they are not functioning well mentally and so forth, and there has to be, you know, medical directives and powers of attorney in place for all those things. I'm not talking about anything that is appropriate. There are appropriate places. And again, going back to the biblical concept of limits, there has to be limits. There has to be a limit on how far do we go to actually make sure somebody does something good for themselves. There has to be a limit. There is no freedom, there is no liberty if people do not have a choice that they can make that is wrong. You see, in the Garden of Eden, I've had a number of people ask me, why in the world did God ever put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden? If he just hadn't have done that, we wouldn't have a problem today. Well, here's the problem with that. There is no liberty, there is no free will, unless there is the opportunity to make a mistake. And a lot of what we have in our culture today is you're having people under the guise of making sure everybody else is okay, that they should be empowered for the welfare of all these other people. Bottom line, that's still tyranny. It is taking away those people's liberty and freedom. Now, again, there is an appropriate place for that to happen when there are extenuating circumstances, but there has to be limits to it. And what we're facing in our society today is more of a thing that if there is a group of people that think this is best for everybody else and they think they're smarter than everyone else, then they should be empowered to do what's best for everyone. That gives us a good segue into our topic for the next session.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977. producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed, buy local. Find them on the web at AugustaSeed.com.
You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
We're back. In this particular segment, I want to look at some recommendations that have been made by the United States, by the Biden administration, to the UN. And it's going to be voted, I believe it's next week, it's going to be voted on next week in the UN about making these amendments a part of the Constitution, if you would, for the UN and the World Health Organization. Now, from what I understand, not only are they going to vote on it then, usually every nation has 18 months to rescind their vote. However, part of the recommended amendments is on this particularly is to change it from 18 months to only 6 months, that they only will have 6 months to rescind how they vote. Now, again, at that point, why is 18 months good for everything else? Now here, all of a sudden, oh, we got to cut this down to six just for this issue. Now, with this, the bottom line, all of these amendments that are being proposed have to do with pandemics. Now, ultimately, the heart of the issue with these amendments is it would strengthen the position of the Director General. Now, that's the head of the World Health Organization. It would strengthen the position of the Director General to the point that the Director General would have the authority to declare a health emergency in any nation and could do it globally and would not be required to have any information from even the country where supposedly the emergency resides, that they're not required. See, currently, in order to declare an emergency, they actually have to be in communication with the nation in question and get information from them. This would remove that step. And where it would not be a panel that would decide this, it would be the Director General all by themselves. They would have the autonomy, they would have the unilateral ability to declare that emergency, to even bring sanctions against that country, to limit travel. For lack of a better phrase, it would put the Director General into a position that in reality, they would ultimately really be the sovereign over every nation. And as we talked about at the beginning, you know, one step backwards, two steps forward for a new world order. The Disinformation Governance Board, that was a step back. But this move to empower the Director General of the World Health Organization to the point that in reality, nations would no longer be sovereign. They would no longer decide and govern their affairs if the Director General of the World Health Organization said something. He would have authority over their legislative bodies. He would have authority. Now, it has to be done under the basis of a health issue. But at that point, you know, over the last couple of years, we have learned that those health issues can affect every part of life, the economy, education, travel, everything. And this puts somebody, and again, it specifically removes the criteria of actually getting information from the nation in question. That's removed. They can get their information from wherever they're comfortable with getting it from. Which, in all honesty to me, that even says they can make it up. Because if when you have one person that has that unilateral ability, you know, human nature is not a wonderful thing by and large. You know, they say that, you know, power corrupts and absolute power absolutely corrupts. And in this, to put one person in that position where they can dictate everything for every nation. Now, here's a strange thing to me. It's not strange in reality, but I don't understand why it's not strange to more people, though. And that's this. It's expected that Russia and China will not vote for it. Isn't it odd, at least it's odd to me, that here you have Russia and China wanting to maintain control within their own country. But here in the United States, our own administration is actually making the recommendation that will take away our own ability to determine our own affairs. We're willing to give it up. Russia and China say, no, we're not going to give up control of our own country. You see, bottom line, all of this is a move to get everything under the UN, to get rid of all borders, to get rid of every boundary, if you would, and have a collective group of people that govern the entire world. Now, my personal opinion is that will never happen because in the Bible, the only place that we see that there will be a one world ruler is when Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom. But humanity is trying to do that now. This move is in alignment with that spirit, if you would. So stay with us through this break, and we'll be right back.
Want to make a difference in your community? Check out cityelders.com or search City Elders Augusta County, Virginia. City Elders exist to influence government spiritually, politically, and economically so that life is protected, liberty is defended, Christ is exalted, and families can flourish. See about helping start a group in your area. You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
All right, we're back. And I want to go a little bit further on the amendments that will impact the World Health Organization. It's not yet clear if they will be approved. There's a number of questions about that. But to me, it is alarming that our nation is the one behind this, because ultimately, if our nation is willing to give up being a sovereign nation to this group, the UN and the World Health Organization, then that also tells us a lot of the mindset about our own country internally, that the smaller pieces have to yield to the larger pieces, that the individual citizen has to yield to the government. It has to yield to the collective, if you would, in that sense. That same mindset carries over. And in this, I'll give you a source, Peter Breggin, B-R-E-G-G-I-N. He's a medical doctor, peterbreggin.com. He talks about this from a medical standpoint and basically identifies the things that are in place now. You see, with a pandemic, certainly there are things that need to take place. There are things that need to be managed. And there are actual rules about that already in place. But those rules basically say that the director general has to get information from that nation. To a degree, there has to be an investigation. And then it has to be reviewed by a number of people. These amendments will totally get rid of that and put all power in the hands of the Director General to make the decision. And at whatever point he or she is satisfied, that's when it happens. That is a dangerous move. That is a dangerous mindset, which again tells us the basic idea is we need to have one person that we think knows what to do, and then they have to have the power and the authority to do that. And if that is the thought globally, then it's also the thought nationally. You don't switch thinking globally one way and then thinking locally a different way. The same process is in play. The bottom line is our liberties as an individual and as a nation are currently in jeopardy. And we've got to understand which way the wind is blowing, in a manner of speaking. And we have got to look at ways that we can retain our liberties as individuals and as a nation. You see, another biblical principle, we talked earlier about limits. There's also a principle of empowering those involved. God, when he made the earth and he put Adam on the earth, he said, let us make man in our image and let them have dominion. In other words, the ones that we're going to have living here, let's empower them. Let's give them the dominion. God's still in charge. God's still in control, but he empowered those involved. At this point, if a nation is dealing with something, they're the one involved. There has to be an empowerment on that nation's side to be able to handle things and manage things. You know, it's like this. Somebody that doesn't live in your home and then they come into your home and see how you're doing some things, they might not understand why you're doing some of the things you're doing because they don't know the backstory. And in that, it's not that, again, I'm wanting to say that when it comes to these things, I'm not saying we don't need to review the processes. After every situation, there should be an evaluation and an analysis and see what needs to be fixed. How do we improve it? What do we need to do? But in doing so, you do not remove the barriers to the abuse of authority. You do not remove those barriers. There may be things that need to be done, but putting the power in the hand of one person is not the answer. And we need to keep our eyes open about all of this. Join us again next time. God bless you.
You've been listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard. Follow us on podbean.com. Also available on Facebook at Liberty Justice HQ and online at libertyjusticehq.com.